Hello, everybody.
Hello.
You're listening to the Comedy Nerds.
Yeah.
I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Destiny Adao.
How you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. We haven't done this in a while because you were off on your honeymoon.
Yep.
And so it's been weeks since we've recorded. And I'm super psyched because I love doing it. We're going to get back to that in a second. But before we move on, I want to introduce our guest back again.
Yeah.
For the second episode in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jeff Shearer. Say hello.
Hi, guys.
Jeff is a fellow comedian like us.
And yeah.
He likes talking about stuff.
Yeah.
You're probably
I do like talking about stuff a
you
lot.
You do. You're definitely like, you're the most, not literate, but
you're the smartest much like us.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you're definitely smart, but also
kind of
like,
omnivorous.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
knowing
for
about
example,
a lot of
I don't. Okay. Yeah.
I have
see,
no
until
idea.
You,
yeah.
Until you define that word,
mm-hmm.
That meant you were definitely that because.
But you're definitely like Dustin.
I do
and
eat
I,
everything too.
like Dustin and I, you like nothing more than just sitting around and talking about nothing for.
It's true.
For hours on end.
It
so
is true.
That worked out. So Dustin, you were on your honeymoon. How was it, by the way?
It was good. I had a great time.
You had a grand old time. Where did you go?
We went to. We started out in Venice. We went to Croatia, Turkey, back to Italy a couple of times, like Rome, Pisa.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
We just kept leaving Italy and going back.
Yeah.
Again and again. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, it's a boat.
No,
we
I know it's
cruise.
A boat.
Like,
I
it doesn't. It,
but you were going around Italy? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
And then we went to France and Spain.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
That was
stuff.
Great.
It was
I'm really
14
jealous.
Days.
Yeah.
I am too, and I did it.
You know? I'm jealous of myself.
Yeah.
And so you were on a cruise ship, and while you were on the cruise ship, you had an idea for an episode.
I did. Every night they have shows.
Yeah.
They have this big theater, and everybody goes, and the entertainment was kind of awful, I have to be honest. And I don't think it was just a problem with that particular cruise line. I think it's a problem with most cruise lines from what I've heard from people. Because the thing is, like, a 2-week cruise is honeymooners and old people.
Hmm.
You know? So the entertainment is geared towards old people. And I was not entertained by it. And it got me to thinking, like, old people are just like everybody else, except they're older. And they seem to be entertained by different things. And I realized that when I was younger, I was entertained by different things. And I thought it'd be a good topic to discuss, you know, how age plays into your comedy and why, you know, old people might not like the same stuff that we like and why young people might like, you know, things that we think are stupid.
Now you go to see this, what from your point of view was a bad comedy show. Were the old people, were they laughing? Like,
oh yeah, no, they were
hilarious.
Into it. There was this ventriloquist, who was, it was a white guy, but he had a puppet that was Jamaican.
Wow.
And she was, it was supposed to be like the most famous comedian from Jamaica, but it was just this puppet.
Right.
And he didn't really understand that, like, part of it is that you're talking to the puppet.
Right.
Because it was like 90-10 the puppet. You know, it was just a puppet doing like monologues about stuff. So, and it wasn't funny, you know? It was just, you know, hey, if you were Jamaican, what would you think of stuff?
Right.
And the audience dug it. The audience was laughing and, you know.
You know what I would do if I had a Jamaican puppet? I would have the puppet say something like crazy, and then I would go, "Jamaican me crazy." That would be the only thing I ever said.
Over and over.
Yeah, every time the puppet said anything, I'd go, "Oh, Jamaican me crazy." That would be my,
big joke. this ventriloquist was the... Was the medium, the ventriloquism, do you think that was what was making the crowd laugh? Or was it, like, was the material very, was it, like, punny, or?
It was sort of that safe middle America, you know.
Right.
You know, it's sort of a joke, but everybody's just kind of like, hey, you know, it's funny when
well,
you
that,
do
that. And that's kind of what I was asking. Like, were they laughing like, man, we're enjoying the show? Or were they laughing like, I'm just happy to be alive and seeing anything? Like,
I think it was part of it. But, you know, like, you know when you're watching something and you're not really that entertained by it, but there's somebody like next to you who this is the first time that they've ever heard a sarcasm or like the first time they've ever heard a pun.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like repeating it back because they're like, oh my God, he just said that thing. And I was like, that joke was written in 1943.
He just said, like, not at the end of his sentence.
Yeah.
I can't
negating it.
No one's ever thought of that before. So the question is,
that guy's gonna be big on the newsreels.
Before the panel is, does your sense of humor change as you get older? And if so, how? And is it something you can fight against? Is it something you should fight against? Or is it just something that's going to happen? And at some point, we all become our dads.
Yeah. Well, here's the weird thing that I was thinking about recently. You know the way, like, they're coming out with the new Three Stooges movie?
Yes.
When I was a kid,
yeah,
I was really into the Three Stooges. And it was really funny. And so was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess you could call me an adult.
Yeah.
And I'm not into the Three Stooges. But my dad still is.
Okay.
You know, and it struck me as odd because, like, I outgrew them.
Right.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
You know, and I can't figure out how that happened.
Well, I mean, is it the thing where, like, at some point you just get stuck? Like, at some point, music just passes you by. And all you want to listen to is, like, the oldie station. You have no interest in anything new that's happening. Is that what happens in comedy where at some point you're just like, I have seen everything funny I ever need to see in life, and I don't want to see anything that's going to be new? Or, you know what I mean? Not
like
that you're watching,
like, your ability to adapt to changing times,
right,
changes, yeah, at some point. You know? I mean, like, yeah, it stops. Just like you stop, just like at the age of 7 or 8, you stop basically, you know, you don't pick up languages as easily. Maybe,
right,
it's like at the age of 30,
mm-hmm,
whatever, that's about as cutting edge as you're gonna get, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I know that, like, not comedy related, but, like, I fought Facebook for years. I had, you know, little 18-year-old kids saying, "Oh no, Facebook! You know, you got to be on Facebook. You're not, you know, it's like email, but it's better." And I was like, "No, I have an email account. I'm not, you know, whatever." And then I got a Facebook account. And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, no, this, I guess this makes sense.
It really makes sense, yeah.
Yeah,
I know. My whole family's on it now. Yeah. It's great."
And I fought it because 18-year-old kids liked it.
Right.
You know, just based on that theory,
right,
that screw them and their stupid technology. And I was just like, I'm only 30, and I consider myself to be relatively hip, and I'm already telling kids to get off my lawn.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, is there some sort of ingrained, if younger people like it, it must be bad kind of thing?
I wonder.
I don't know. I mean, but the other thing I was going to say is, like, beyond just, like, genetically, like, you're getting older, like, every time you do something new, or, like, or you even watch, like, you know, a comedy thing that's, like, outside of what you're used to, it does take a certain amount of effort of being like, okay, I have to figure out whether or not I'm okay with this and whether or not I find this funny. And at some point, do you just, like, it's not worth the effort anymore? Like, kind of you with Facebook, where, like, you're like, I don't want to figure it out. Like,
yeah,
I don't care enough to try to figure out what this is all
right
about.
But then when
do
I try and do that to older people about my stuff, and
right,
they're like, ah, and I'm fine. I'm like, no, but you don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
it's so awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, and I think it's sort of a parallel development with both music and comedy. I wonder how much that generation gap is going to go away after some time. You know, like, I think we're still kind of dealing with the fact that we're getting into such a media age that now it's easy for someone who's, you know, growing up, like, Grant, you know, there's always going to be the joke about, like, you know, someone's 21 and they're, or 18, whatever, and they're like, you know, what's Mel Brooks, or what's
right
the Marx Brothers, whatever, and that's always going to be the case. But now everything is so available, it's not that weird to find that someone is 22 and into the Marx Brothers, whatever,
right,
any more than it was weird that I was into the Marx Brothers, because it's not like it was my generation, you know. That
right.
And I think right now there's so much stuff available that, like, I feel like everybody has the chance to be listening to the same thing now. You know, it's like, it's not that strange for me to be listening to Death Cab for Cutie along
right
with 14-year-olds, you know. But I wonder if that the generation gap is going to kind of collapse a little
bit. I have sort of thought, this is slightly off topic, but maybe it'll bring us back around to the topic. I have sort of thought, like, I don't think it would be so strange for, like, a 17-year-old kid in high school right now to be like, oh, I'm a big fan of the Beatles.
Right.
Which is 40 years old.
Yeah.
Like, was there anyone in 1968 who was just like, God, I love ragtime?
There,
like,
was.
I love it.
Probably.
Well, in fact, I mean, one of the things that, that made the 60s what it was that there were a lot of enthusiasts for older types of music. You know, there were, I mean, there were a lot
you could play them on something.
I mean, the Beatles were playing skiffle, you know, like the Beatles were playing like, and they were listening to music from not just the last decade, but like the Stones were listening to like old blues records. And I mean, you had like the Kinks were ridiculously nostalgic. They were listening to old, like they were doing their parents' music basically, like as rock and roll, as psychedelic rock and roll.
But I mean,
and that was when they had to look for the records.
Right.
That wasn't when you could just like, I wonder what this band is. I'll look up a YouTube within 3 seconds and I'll be able to see. It. Like, I mean, even now with Nichols and May, you can do that. You know.
But I mean, is that the way?
I don't know what skiffle is.
I barely know it myself.
Oh, I mean, it was like an early, it's like a bluesy kind of rock.
But it's a little more, it's a little more like wash tub kind of like a crowd, I don't know. It was a short faddish craze in England in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah,
okay,
and like it kind of it just was like an early fast like beat heavy. Kind of music that morphed into rock and roll.
All right,
There's a skiffle band in Williamsburg. So,
well, they got everything.
Young kids in their 20s are playing skiffle along. Yeah, exactly.
But these guys have both had sex with women.
Yeah, right.
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that the Venn diagram of people who know what skiffle is?
Wait, Dustin,
and had sex with women.
Dustin, who are you talking to? You're having an aside.
to nobody. We're just sitting around a table talking. But do you think that's always been the case to a certain degree? Like, meaning like, when you think about the 70s, you think like, oh, a guy in a leisure suit and bell bottoms at a disco. But of course, that's not the way everybody was. Like, you know, people
listen to their Ella Fitzgerald records.
Yeah, there's always an element of people who are looking backwards. So, I mean, I don't know how much it's actually changing.
But I mean, there's so much more of everything now. I mean, I noticed a big change just between like, you know, the 80s and the 90s or the 90s, you know, or and later.
And
like,
the aughts.
Yeah, and the aughts.
Yeah.
In terms of what you'd hear, I'm sorry to keep turning this into music, but like what you'd hear when you walk into a store or a coffee shop.
Right.
Like it used to be like, it would generally be, there would be some like classic radio kind of the, you know, they might be playing the Beatles or, you know, that sort of thing, or the, you know, like the kind of relatively small playlist of classic radio, or there would be something that was modern and poppy.
Hmm.
Or maybe there would be something like your grandparents would listen to. But now it's like you can, you know, you'll go in and you'll hear Brazilian music and you'll hear, you know, you know, the Cowboy Junkies, you'll hear like it seems like there's much less restriction. Everybody's playlists are bigger.
Mm.
And in a way it's the same, I feel like, with comedy, that everybody's got such access to each other's things, you know, granted you're a comedy nerd, but you know, that you could be a big fan of Bob Newhart's records and that, you know.
Right, exactly.
But even with that access, like I think we've talked about this offline, that I think Adult Swim is a good example of getting too out there, of getting too like modern or whatever, if you will. You know, like, I mean, when it was just like Aqua Teen, you know, and C-Lab, I was there. You know, I was watching it. And I was like, yeah, no, that's funny. You know, they're doing the thing in Space Ghost. It's crazy. He's talking to this person. And then they just got to a point where it was, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I'm confused. I'm like an old person.
I haven't found that yet. And I'm the oldest person here. But I watch Adult Swim and some of the weirdest things are still some of my favorites. Some of them I just think are kind of derivative or stupid, you know. Right. But I just saw the other day Super Jail, which is by Augenblick Studios, who are the people who did the cartoons for Wondershowsen.
Okay.
And Wondershowsen, for me, was one of the most like amazing things I've ever seen. You know, like I loved Wondershowsen. It was sick. It was like punk rock comedy. Like, and I loved it. I loved it. And Super Jail is like the cartoonist from that, just on acid and crack at the same time. I mean, it is, It is crazy cartooning, and I might like cartoons more than most people, but but the cartoon is just violent and nuts, and I love every second of it. And I don't know. I'm kind of wondering what would end up being too much for me. Unless it was just all about, you know.
Well, I mean, I love Metalocalypse. Is despite the fact that I can't pronounce the title of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, violent, and really out there. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love that show. The show that has given me pause in the past,
which we've talked about,
is Tim and Eric.
Yes.
And the only thing, I mean, just to the point where I like it, but I'm just like, I don't know if I really get this. And I don't know if there's necessarily anything to get about it. But I'm like, am I missing something? And am I just getting too old? Like, am I just getting too old to enjoy how insane this is? Like, it's too much. Because it is,
right, but
it is something of a chore to watch that show.
Yeah, so, I mean, is it a thing of, as you get older, you get lazier? Unless you're Jeff, who thinks he's better than everybody with his, I'm too hip for any comedy.
He's super cool. I know what skiffle is.
Yeah.
I'm awesome.
Look at me using words you guys don't know. I own a dictionary.
All true.
Yeah. I'm glad you said Chenery after that.
That might be less about age too. It might be that might be more about being a prime demographic in which I really like disturbing modern art as well. So the overlap between comedy and it doesn't matter if it's not funny, I'm still enjoying it, which is kind of the same with Wondershowsen. Wondershowsen was not always laugh out loud funny. It was more
But I loved Wondershowsen.
Yeah.
I loved it though. So
and Tim and Eric is like for the people. I think there's a little bit in Tim and Eric of like, if you're the kind of person that would watch a DVD full of weird public access shows,
right?
You know, And I don't know if I'm permitted to talk about the elephant in the room when we're talking about stuff like Tim and Eric and Wondershowsen, but drug use does figure into it.
I would agree with that. Well, but I want to. But I think I'm
the kind of person like Van Wilder. I do not understand why anybody thinks that is funny. Like I don't like I didn't even really like Dumb and Dumber that much. I did like There's Something About Mary, whatever, but.
But I also like, when I watch Tim and Eric, I just think like, is this the way I'm supposed to be responding to this show? Like, is this what they want? Is for me to just basically more or less be confused the whole time? Or am I supposed to be finding this hilariously funny?
Right.
And I'm just not. Like, I don't know. And it's one of the few times, like, if I turn on something and it's not good and it's not funny, I'm like, well, I'll just turn it off because it's not good. It's one of the few shows where I'm like, is this me? Yeah. Am I the problem here?
Well, I wonder if that's an age thing, though. I mean, yeah.
When I watch Robot Chicken, it's a funny show, and I want to be there with it because I like Seth Green. Seth Green. But I also find it kind of insulting because it's like, you know, I can stick around for more than 15 seconds. Like, you can let the story play out. It doesn't just need to be like, you know, 4 seconds a joke. And I appreciate the fact that they think that you're smart enough that within that 4 seconds you're going to understand the entirety of what you're seeing and then appreciate the punchline. But at the same time, it's like, look, just, you know, slow down.
That's actually a really good point, I think, when you're talking about like I think, let's say between the baby boomers, between our parents' generation and our generation, one of the big differences, I think the huge differences in our sense of humor is meta. Like, you know, that we're always self-reflexive. We're a lot more talking about the culture. There's something about The Simpsons, you know, the way The Simpsons, mixed genres and fit everything into each other, how you could be, you know, it did stuff that, like, I think baby boomers just aren't always on the same page with. And I'm not saying that, of course, people don't like The Simpsons, but my dad doesn't, which always amazes me, because my dad introduced me to the Marx Brothers, Monty Python. I mean, like, you know, that's crazy, but Simpsons for some reason just seemed kind of stupid to him, and I feel like we're seeing it on a completely different level. But anyway, I think that the generational skip between like generation X and like what I think the marketers are calling them, the millennials now, like the, you know, Gen Y and on, is that they took our kind of short attention span and zoomed it up so high that, like, now, you know, you're watching things and it's everything's just a jumble. Like, it's they're used to changing the channels and not watching television. Like, they, you know, there's a whole thing about how people watch television when they're like doing Blackberries or on their laptops and doing five things at the same time. They're also listening to music while they're doing that. And I think a lot of that stuff, Robot Chicken just seems like exactly geared towards that kind of
thing. I mean, that just seems like the logical end to the super quick cutting that, you know, for the last 20 years or whatever has been coming. Yeah. And be just that pop culture reference. Whereas, like, now you, if you hadn't been watching TV for the last 10 years, would literally not understand a single thing that's going on that show. Like, there's not a single joke that doesn't reference back to something you need to know about to understand. So, I mean, that's, you know, another generational thing where, like, now everything is so self-referential and referencing other things.
Well, I wonder if that's a positive thing for kids in the future, because if you flexed your comedic muscle in a situation where you're required to have all this knowledge and you're required to access that knowledge so quickly that you get the joke, that they'll be more willing to go that extra mile. Because I, you know, as you were saying, the thing is, like, when my parents and when these people on this cruise were kids, they never had to flex that muscle. I mean, there was four channels.
Right.
So you watch the comedy show that was on, and you got delivered comedy the same way because there was the script of how you did it. And now when you get something like The Simpsons, where there are three different tiers of the way jokes are delivered, they're just like, okay, well, I'm going to find it funny because I appreciate tier one. I don't know what tier two and three are.
Right. Yeah.
You know, now at least when kids are going to be growing up, they're already on like eight tiers of jokes that we're probably not getting.
Right. Just go back to your dad, The Simpsons, real quick, because I was just thinking, like, obviously I don't know the reason why he didn't like The Simpsons, but do you think it was, again, that thing of putting the effort where, because when The Simpsons started, the idea of a primetime cartoon was crazy. Like, now, of course,
you're thinking, like, wait till your father gets home,
right? Or like the Flintstones. Yeah, exactly. There's an entire channel of that now. But, like, was he just like, I'm just not gonna watch a cartoon? Like,
I definitely think there's an aspect of that.
The effort, like, to, yeah,
yeah. There are some people I know still. It's like when you have someone who's like, you know, I don't like reggae, and they're like, you know, that they've only heard, like, you know, UB40 doing Red Wine or something and you're like, you know, but you never heard, like, this deep track Bob Marley and the Wailers album, you know, and they're like, nah, I just don't like reggae. And it's that same thing. I know people in our generation and the baby boomer generation all over the place who are just like, I just don't really dig cartoons, you know.
Right.
You know, and I don't think he's like that with everything. I'm sure, like, he likes a Pixar movie and, you know, and I think he likes classic, you know, Bugs Bunny and that kind of thing. But about The Simpsons, though, is that at least at the beginning, and it's the same thing with Family Guy and a lot of them, is they are cartoons, but they're not really cartoonist cartoons.
Right.
Yeah.
They're kind of their own, like, they're like writers' cartoons.
But I mean, in their day, I mean, like, I think we forget, like, with Bugs Bunny did have jokes that weren't for kids, you know?
Sure.
They were hipper than they come across in a visual thing. It's just that we watched them when we were eight and we didn't know that those jokes were there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm probably a pretty huge nerd about Bugs Bunny stuff. And but even then, though, like, the care and the animation and everything was a lot different than, you know, what,
right.
I mean, The Simpsons, I think, now is pretty sophisticated, you know, but.
But that's sort of what I mean, where, like, I mean, like, Bugs Bunny, like, Marx Brothers, you know, definitely, like, Monty Python, like, that, they all had, like, metatextual kind of things where they would mention the fact that it's a TV show or the movie and stuff.
Mix smart and stupid elements.
Right.
Like,
so, you know, again, it's just like The Simpsons should theoretically follow that.
Right.
But it's just, you just get to a point where it's like, I'm just not going to put in the effort
to figure
this out anymore. Like, I'm just going to like what I like, and that's kind of the end of it.
Like, is it, I mean, sort of like you were hinting at the beginning, and to do the whole music analogy, like, they say that you typically like the music that you did from, like, you know, like 14 to 25, when you were kind of in that prime and you were all emotional and you know, whatever, and you associated with that. So by the time that you're like 60, you can hear stuff and you can recognize that it's good, but it doesn't emotionally affect you in any way.
Well, but I mean, this also just get to the point when you're 60 of like, I have like 60 years worth of music to listen to. Yeah. Like, I don't need to listen to anything new. I have tens of thousands of songs that, you know, right. I mean, right now I could turn on my iTunes and it could play for 40 days and I wouldn't hear the same song twice. So you just get to a point of like, this is all I like and this is all I need.
But here's the thing about that though. Like that may be true. Okay. But when it comes to comedy,
right.
If that's true, then why would this room of people who've had 70 years worth of comedic experience all of a sudden laugh at a joke that's painfully obvious? You know, because, I mean, that's what, I mean, when I say that it was like bad humor, I mean, it was obvious. It was, you knew exactly where the punchline was coming. Yeah. You knew exactly what he was going to say. And it was a joke that, you know, comedians around the world have been telling for, you know,
right,
for a while. And it's the type of, like, they're cruise ship comedians, you know, and if you know comedians, you know what a cruise ship comedian is. And, you know, why not with those 60 years, 70 years of experience, are they saying like, dude, you know, they were telling that joke when I was a kid, tell me a different joke.
I bet though, if you went and if you polled all those people that were at that, you know, at that show, like if you went and said like, what have you been watching for the past, you know, 60-70 years, they're probably going to be fewer people who are like, oh yeah, I loved Monty Python in the day, and then right. Then at some point I got into really corny humor. I don't think it's at some age you just start, you know, your sense of humor dumbs down. I would hope not, but maybe I'm just being optimistic. But maybe they're the people who were, you know, who were watching the bad variety shows in the 70s, mm-hmm. and going to the, you know, watching Hee Haw, and, you know, like, they've been watching corny humor all along. Like, they've been watching, you know, they laughed at Liberace's jokes, and I don't want to get into a Bob Hope debate with anyone, but, you know, like, but if, like, let's say Bob Hope's worst specials, that kind of thing, you know.
The man was a god. No.
And, you know, like, and there are somewhere that there are somewhere people their age who were watching the Smothers Brothers and, you know, the Bob Newhart and the Monty Python and Kids in the Hall even, and that now they're just not on cruise ships.
Like,
or they didn't go to that show.
And like the people maybe 40 years from now, the people who will be 70 laughing at that horrible show are the people who are watching
Blue Collar
Larry
Comedy.
The Cable Guy
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they've just always liked bad comedy. And although I do think like a certain, I don't know, a level of resistance. I mean, you're obviously super critical.
Yeah.
Like,
no, definitely.
I mean, it could also be that people are just on a high, they're on vacation,
they're on medication.
Dude, they weren't, though. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm with you on that. But, like, we were on the cruise maybe 30 minutes. And somebody was, like, bitching about the food. And, you know, like, hey, why, you know, where do you get a drink around here? And it's just like, dude, you're on vacation. Chill out, man. Right. Like, there's, you know, because the first thing they do is they drop you off at the lunchroom. Like, they drop you off at the buffet of infinite food, you know? So you've just gotten on the cruise ship and you're bitching about the buffet of infinite food. If you don't like what's there, step over a foot and there's new and exciting food. So I don't know that it was necessarily the high thing because everybody was really bitchy.
Right.
Not everybody, but there were bitchy people.
All right.
Well, I guess the thing that you hinted on is my fear. My fear is that when I become 70, that I'm just going to get lazy and I'm just going to laugh at, you know, at dumb stuff. I'm going to laugh at people falling down. Look, we watched the clip that you had sent.
I was showing them for a little pre-show research. And this will help me segue to something else, too. So I'm in this traveling comedy group, Chicago City Limits, and we tour all around the country. And we go to do a lot of red state stuff. Sometimes we, you know, sometimes very much older crowds, you know, sometimes they're college crowds, but sometimes they're, you know, it's like we have to really adapt, I think, to different styles of humor. Not everything is like super hip, you know, but the one thing I found, A, is that you can never predict. You know, you can never predict, even in a red state, you can't predict what people's political predilections are going to be. Like, the people who come out to the shows might all be blue, you know, blue in a red state.
Who are just excited to have somebody. Yeah.
And that you can never know whether the people in their 60s have a lot more of a sense of humor than the people in their 30s. But anyway, we were in Arkansas and we had to go up to Missouri and we were like, oh, we should go to Branson. That'd be hilarious. Like, because Branson is like, you know, this combination of, it's like somewhere in between Nashville and Vegas without the gambling. It's just like these giant houses full of like these crazy, crazy shows. Andy Williams, I had no idea he's still alive. He has a show. He has a show there. And one of the most amazing things there is, you know who has his own theater? Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, I've like heard lives of there.
He has
that.
His own big theater, what? And yeah. He just does. Yakov Smirnoff does stuff all the time, and so this plays right into it. Yakov what? Smirnoff is like, it's just filling the house.
Is
with
living
it.
A huge life in Branson,
Missouri. But the oldest, you know, the oldest show there is this thing called Bald Knobbers, which I saw a pamphlet for, and it just coincidentally I found them on a Google search like years ago. So like I was like, oh, these guys. And they're like these guys with ridiculous faces, like it looks like they don't have any teeth, and they're just like doing this, it's a hee-haw thing, like they're doing like they play country music, and then in between these old like clown kind of guys, like dressed in like, you know, they're the blue collar comedy tour of their time, but they're hideously unfunny, you know, but like people are laughing, granted a little politely, it sounded like the audience was laughing, but you know. And then, but what one thing it made me think of was that when we do shows, like when we look out and it's like, oh, this is a blue hair show we're doing, like there's a lot of people, like that there are certain things we do have to keep in mind, and one of them is just speaking clearly and like, and not over talking and like all these really practical things you have to think about. And I'm sure, I wonder if some of that figures into it, you know, like not just like your tastes, but like, you know, you think about the fact that you're probably not as keyed into the culture anymore. So cultural references aren't going to make as much difference anymore. You know, like I, you know what I worry about instead of worrying about the comedy tour, I'm a big crossword puzzle fan. And right now I'm like at the perfect age, I think, to do crossword puzzles because I'm old enough to know stuff like I should know, like cultural literacy kind of things. But I'm also, I know who Brian Eno is, you know, like, or I know, like, I'll know some pop culture. I'm old. I'm not going to be able to do crossword puzzles anymore. They're going to be like, oh, this person played, you know, in Hannah Montana 19. This person played, you know, Globdeck the Zip Bar or whatever. And I'm going to be like, what?
God, the future's going to be great. Huh?
Well, no, I'll see like parodies of High School Musical and I'll be like, I'm not going to go see that ever.
Right.
Because it's Grease of this generation and I didn't like Grease. My generation. Yeah,
exactly.
So why would I see the new one?
Well, as we're quickly running out of time, but I'm going to ask a question that's possibly unanswerable. So this will be fun.
Sounds good.
What go is back, knowledge?
To go back, yeah. Dustin, what is love?
What is the what?
Describe God.
Prove existence. Go ahead.
So we were discussing like Robot Chicken and like how that's, you know, like sort of the logical conclusion of like what's been coming for the last 20 years. And not just that show, but a lot of stuff. As we get older.
Wouldn't exactly call it cutting edge.
Well, it's not cutting edge. But I'm saying
that attention span.
Or whatever, like all that Adult Swim stuff. Like whatever else you want to say. As we get older and a new generation comes up, what's coming in the future? Like what do you see coming that's gonna be, you know, their thing, if anything, or does comedy never really change?
That's, you know, I was thinking of this earlier, and I was thinking that one thing that's peculiar about like the past generation or two is that unlike, you know, the generations came before us, there's nowhere really. I mean, there's plenty of places in terms of material and quality and stuff like that you can go, but in terms of like transgression, you know, we've had hardcore punk, we've had hardcore porn, and we've had, you know, we've had the most vulgar comedians that we're probably ever going to have.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like anybody's going to be like, oh, this is going to be the even harder metal. This is going to be even the more crazy comedian. I think it's basically, it doesn't answer your question, but it does mean that I don't think we're going to be shocked by a lot.
Well, is that true though? Or, cause I mean, people thought that like, you know, in the 50s.
And when
like,
Elvis did his little...
Yeah, like Elvis, that was little, as far as you could possibly go.
Well,
and
no,
now
but,
it seems
but I,
so...
I think then it was like the thing that he was breaching the floodgates. I mean, that they knew that there was a lot of stuff behind there that they didn't want to see.
Right.
You know, I mean, granted, there were stag films that people were watching that were hardcore, you know, in the 30s. But now everything is, you know, everything's out. Everything's open. You know,
but that's sort of something like Tim and Eric where it's like, now you're just, you're veering off into like... I don't even know what. Like, they're messing with the medium as opposed to,
I stand
like,
behind my argument of this that I've probably made before, but I might not have done it on air. Everything comes back to Roman gladiators. There was a time where they fed Christians to lions.
Right.
That would be shocking.
Yeah.
That beats everything that we have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So all I see is we're just slowly working our way back the Christians and lions.
Right.
And then we'll be like, oh, wait a minute. You shouldn't do that. And then slowly work our way back.
Is that...
This... I will say, by the way, South Park still has the ability to shock me. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I those guys are nuts.
Although the Obama one this week, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, they have some weak episodes.
They don't... Yeah, not every episode's great. But
I did enjoy the guinea pigs, the one about the Peruvian...
They're amazing in the ability to shock and also be pretty funny. Yeah. Like, not every episode is great, granted, but I mean, anybody can be like, oh, dirty words, yeah, like things I'm supposed to
usually
say.
Usually, when they shock with a moral.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was gonna ask a question, and we only have
four. I think that is an excellent question. Is
well,
where do we go?
Well, what I was going to ask, is that the natural progression of, like, a society
Roman
where you
demise.
Just... Well, but you basically just get worse and worse until you're just killing people for sport, and then your society crumbles, and then the next thing gets built up? Or...
Yes, it is, because it becomes a thing of, like, people struggle to eat,
right.
And, you know, whatever, and then suddenly they get the ability to eat. So it's like, okay, well, what's our next thing? You know, and as you get more... As you get more luxuries, you need something more insane to entertain you. And, I mean, and that's what happened in Rome. It was everybody had, you know, their money. Everybody had, you know, the stuff that they felt they needed to survive. So now, all right, let's watch somebody get eaten.
I wonder, though, like, I mean, a lot of the stuff, like, I think sometimes we forget that, like, that what is survives in a culture to us. Like, you know, in the 19th century, we're reading Jane Austen books that we think, oh, yeah, it was like Jane Austen then. Right. You know, and it's, of course, you know, people were still in bars, you know, saying, pull my finger and, you know, screwing each other in the back room and, you know, and probably all along they've been doing every sexual thing that there is to do, you know, that it's... And I think now it's about visibility, but I don't know if what we're doing is all that much. You know, I think the average person might not be doing much crazier stuff than they have all along.
Yeah, probably.
But
not.
We've just gotten to the point now where in media we're going, okay, here's somebody doing that crazy thing. Everybody will look at it. My concern is that, like, you know, when you said that and you talked about, or when you talk about, like, hardcore porn and hardcore rock or whatever, like, the natural progression is that hardcore porn and hardcore rock now they have to come together, you know, and
do it.
You know, like, all of those That's hardcore awesome. Things now suddenly the next logical progression is to take things that were brought to the extreme and combine them with other things that are brought to the extreme, and you get those Doritos that have two different flavors.
I think what will shock us will be the medium. I think that will be
That's
the thing that will
saying.
Change a lot. I think it'll be, you know, you'll start seeing stuff that's, you know, people will be doing stuff like, I can't even, you know, like the way people interact now, you know, that we interact with, like, text messaging and Twitters and this and that. I mean, you know, like, I get a Twitter feed that's supposed to be Michael Bay. Like, get that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Michael Bay Twitter feed? That's a
comedy
medium
thing.
Now.
Yeah,
you
know?
I think here's what's going to happen. We're going to progress to the point where people can virtually have sex on their computer, and then it's gonna stop because that's really all you need.
Right. Yeah, I think
you know, like, you can get to the point where you're like, oh, I could be having sex with supermodels all day. Great, I don't need CNN beamed into my head anymore.
Or you
I
just
can
get
just,
yeah,
you know.
Although,
and then, but you get one electrode put in your brain that just, like, you just, like, turn up, like, funny, and it's like, ah, ha, ha, and you laugh, and then you have an
orgasm,
and it's done.
So in some way, there's just gonna be like an opt-in matrix.
Yeah.
Where you just, it's just fake world where everything's great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know we're running out of time, but I have my crazy ideas that someday you're going to be able to, your whole family and all your friends, you're going to have, like, them scanned in and their voices and everything like that. And when you watch a sitcom or a movie or whatever, you can just cast it with all your friends and family in it.
That'd be awesome.
So you could watch, you know, your episode of Friends and just, it is your friends.
You know what's sad also about life is, like, we have, like, iPods and everything. The thing's 50 years ago. People would be like, oh, my God, this is great. We're never satisfied.
I know.
Because now I just wish I was born 30 years later just so I could see that happen. Like, I'm like, I'm bored with all the junk I have now. Yeah, but I want awesome stuff.
Except it's going to be, like, The Road.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be shooting off wolves.
Except what's going to happen with your scenario is that when you actually see the person, like, if their character sucked on that show, you're going to be like, that was just dumb.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You're like, why is that doing what?
You didn't get my link?
All right. So we're out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
For two fantastic episodes. Yeah. Really great.
Takes two different weeks apart.
We almost made it through with that.
Feels so much older.
I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Destiny Adato.
You've been listening to Comedy Nerds. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns you would like us to address, please contact the show at info@thecomedynerds.com. That's info@thecomedynerds.com. Also, be sure to visit us on the web at thecomedynerds.com. Our theme music is by the Santa Marias, and you can find them online at santamariasnyc.com. If you like what you heard here today, won't you please write a review in iTunes and tell all your friends about the show. And if you didn't like what you heard, you can write reviews on iTunes. I don't know where you got that crazy idea. I'm Dan McInerney, and for Dustin and myself, thanks for listening.